Welcome to the Arab Spring, a history. Episode 34, 1980s Turkey. At the dawn of the 1980s, things were not looking very good for Turkey. It had been a decade since the army had intervened in politics in an attempt to bring about a democratic government, but democracy had failed to take hold. The Justice Party, led by Demirel, could only lead governments which the extreme right held hostage. Their support was necessary, and so the Islamists and neo-fascists were able to hold a disproportionately large presence in government. Meanwhile, on the left, the Republican People's Party was not faring any better. The party of Atatürk had become a social democratic party, and while it was under the control of Evekit, it was the single largest party in Turkey, but it was not large enough to form a majority on its own, and there were no other parties with similar views to form a coalition with. There had been a decade of powerless governments as chaos and political terrorism became the norm. The army felt that it had to do something, and so on September 12th, 1980, the Turkish military once again overthrew the government in a coup d'etat. The Demirel government was dismissed, and in its place the generals set up a National Security Council. This was made up of the Chief of Staff, General Kenan Evren, in addition to the chiefs of the Army, Navy, Air Force and Gendarmerie. They were to form the executive and legislature of Turkey, although they did give some power to a technocratic cabinet, which was led by Bülent Ulusu, a retired admiral. Martial law was established, which reflected the principal aim of the military government, the restoration of law and order. The army saw politics as the cause of their problems, and so the parties were closed and politicians were banned. Radical modifications were made to the constitution, to the electoral system, and the universities in an attempt to reduce the influence of politics in the country. This was the state of play until 1983, when the army felt it had done enough to set the country back on the right path. New parties were formed, but crucially, they were to be made of new politicians. All members of the 1980 parliament were banned for 5 years, while party leaders were banned for 10. In 1983, three parties contested the first election after the coup. These were the centre-right Motherland Party, which is known by its acronym in Turkish, ANAP, or ANAP. This was led by Turgut Özal, a technocrat who had managed the economy under Demirel's last cabinet and under the military. There was a second centre-right party, the Nationalist Democratic Party, or NDP, led by the retired general Turgut Sunalp. The centre-left was led by Nekdet Kalp and his populist party, Kalp being a former bureaucrat. Demirel, Ekavit and Erbakan were forbidden to be involved, but they still retained great influence. The November 1983 election was won by ANAP, which managed to win 45% of the vote. The populists won 30% and the NDP 23%. Özal asked for a period of 5 years of social peace in order to correct the economic problems the country was facing. He froze prices in order to try and bring inflation under control. He sought to increase exports. He held down wages in order to try and slow down consumption. And he made agreements to postpone Turkey's foreign debt repayments. It showed promise. The liberalisation streak had been mentioned during Özal's stay in Demirel's cabinet, but Demirel did not have enough political capital to bring these changes about before the coup. It could have been successful, but there were several large issues. The project was often handled in a very arbitrary manner, which unsettled the market, which also didn't like that groups close to the government got preferential treatment. Due to the support of the IMF and World Bank, Turkey was able to lose the foreign exchange constraint, which had been an issue, and there was a huge increase in export growth. Merchandise exports had made up 2.6% of GDP in 1979, and by 1990 would reach 8.6%. But despite the benefits to the export industry, the rest of the economy failed to experience this. There was little private investment, while political instability couldn't be avoided and high interest rates remained an issue. GNP increased an annualised rate of 4.6% during the 1980s. This seems good, but it was not built on a solid foundation of internal private investment. External debt had been below $10 billion in 1980, but by the end of the decade, it had reached over $50 billion. While Özal focused on repairing the economy, the banned political leaders worked towards returning to power. They operated proxy parties, and after a referendum in September 1987, their political rights were restored. Özal called a snap election, hoping to deny his rivals the time to organise properly, and it sort of worked. Out of the three parties that contested the previous election, only ANAP survived to fight in 1987. It remained the largest political party, but its share of the vote dropped to 36%. They managed to win 292 seats. In second place came the Social Democratic Party, or SHP, which was led by Adal İnönü, son of İsmet, and included the remnants of the Populist Party. It won 25% of the vote and 99 seats. In third place was the True Path Party, which was led by Demirel. It won 19% of the vote and claimed 59 seats. It was decided that a party needed 10% of the vote in order to win seats, and four parties failed to do this. The two most notable were the Democratic Left Party, which was led by Ekvit, and managed to split the vote of the left with İnönü's SHP. And then there was also the Welfare Party, led by the Islamist Ekbat Khan. It is also worth noting a man who was a member of this party, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. While ANAP might have been the dominant political party in the assembly, it became clear that this wouldn't last. ANAP saw its vote slip to a disastrous 22% in the local elections of March 1989, and Özal had himself elected to the presidency in October of that year, as General Evren's term came to a close. Turkish parties are very close to their leaders, and ANAP struggled without Özal in charge. Yıldırım Akbulut was selected as Özal's replacement, and his party began to split between the Islamist and nationalist elements. The crisis in the Gulf and the growing threat of the Kurds did not help, particularly when the economic issues had not been fixed, Islamist fundamentalism was reappearing, agricultural subsidies were cut off after 1980, and the industry was struggling, while real wages in the labour market decreased by 34%. Akblut was replaced as leader of ANAP by Mesut Yılmaz, and a snap election was called in 1991, before the situation could get any worse. Demirel won the election for the True Path Party, which won 27% of the vote. Yılmaz managed to secure a second place for his party with 24% of the vote, but the left struggled as its vote was once again split between İnönü's SHP and Ekvet's DLP. SHP won 21% of the vote and the DLP won 11%. It was a huge blow when 2 years previously, in the 1989 local elections, it looked as though SHP would win. In addition, the Islamist Welfare Party managed to place fourth with 17% of the vote. Of the 450 seats up for grabs, Demirel won 178, ANAP won 115, İnönü won 88, Erbakan won 62, and Ekvit picked up 7. While there were no ideological differences between ANAP and TPP, they refused to form a government together, Yılmaz preferring to take ANAP into opposition. This forced Demirel into a coalition with the ideologically opposed Social Democrats of İnönü. The situation would only last until the sudden death of Özal in 1993. He was replaced as president by Demirel, who gave control of the party to Tansu Çiller, a relatively inexperienced politician with close links to the business community and a doctorate in economics. She was determined to modernise her party, which remained in coalition with the Social Democrats, who, by joining a right-wing government, saw their reputation plummet amongst the ordinary voters. It wasn't looking particularly good for either party. The Kurdish problem continued to be a destabilising factor, and people grew increasingly unhappy with right-wing policies. This gave support to the Welfare Party, which managed to win the 1995 elections. People were deeply unhappy. Özal had made liberal reforms, but he seemed to be ignoring the fact that ordinary people were struggling. It had been a feature of Turkish politics since Atatürk that political parties took on the character of their leaders, meaning that Özal had been effectively unchallenged. While he was concerned with economics, he had taken a lax approach towards the rule of law, and corruption became a real issue. It shouldn't be that surprising that an Islamist government was elected. This is where I want to bring things to a close for this week, since we're beginning to get quite far past the Gulf War, which is where I want to bring the narrative to in this phase of the podcast. So we shall rejoin Turkey in the future to discuss the 1990s in more detail, and for now we're going to transition to Egypt in our next episode. Thanks for listening. Allah.